Well, I might echo the same sentiments as Brother Dan. Really appreciate, again, each one that's here tonight with us. Thank you very much for coming. And our time spent here was really enjoyed. Being here in Sarnia, I heard about it often. And want to thank Tim and Judy, of course, for their wonderful hospitality at their home. And I enjoyed being with Brother Dan, first time. And he wasn't really all that hard to get along with. So quite enjoyed that. But anyway, thanks to all for all your hospitality and for all your kindness. I'm going to read tonight in Isaiah as well, the book of Isaiah and chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. And reading at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Now I'll read that one more time. We were hearing about the source of the gospel. Well, this tells us about the source. Behold, God is my salvation, the source of the gospel. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. That's the supply. So I'm not just thinking of that tonight. But anyway, the Lord will bless what we've heard, I'm sure, and help, we trust, for the closing part of our meeting. A little while ago in Prince Edward Island, we had a few meetings with Peter Ramsey, that most would know here tonight. And coming to those meetings was a lady, a woman, a married woman. And we were visiting there one day. So she said, you know, the other day it was sugar was going on sale. And in the paper was the word that the price of sugar was rising, was going to be rocket high, the price of sugar. So her husband said to her, well, you know, we need to go down to the store and buy up a bunch of sugar, because the price of sugar is skyrocketing. So he said, we need to buy up a lot of sugar. She said, as she thought about that, she said, now isn't that something? Here we are worrying about the price of sugar going up, and we're going to stock up with sugar because the price is increasing. And here they are preaching the gospel up there at the gospel hall, and we are not concerned at all about getting ready to meet God. And we are worrying about buying some sugar before the price goes up. And so she said, you know, I thought something to take advantage of. So they saw, the husband thought, hey, we need to take advantage of this deal before this deal passes away. And so talking to Jennifer, of course, shortly after, one day sitting in her home, she embraced her opportunity. And she trusted the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior. And it's the most wonderful thing. I'm thinking tonight of something to take advantage of. Some things to take advantage of. Not the price of sugar, that's up and down or whatever, or anything else really. They have all kinds of advantages in life. We had a paper come the other day in the mail, and they offered 0% interest if you borrowed some money. 0% interest for 15 months. I don't know if Scotiabank does that or not, but they offered 0% interest for 15 months, and you could, you know, change over your one bill to another bill and all the rest of it. And so our world is full of things, and they want you to take advantage of it. I want to think of four things tonight to take advantage of. On the chart, and I like the chart, and I see there's a pointer here. On this chart, you see this here, this is the door. The Bible says, Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, there's a verse that says, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door. So in the preaching of the gospel tonight, our message tonight, my friend, see this door here that is open? You need to take advantage of an open door. You need to take advantage of the open door. This door, one day the Bible reminds us that door is going to close. That door that is open tonight is going to close. And while that door is open, you need to take advantage of it. It's too late when the door shuts, my friend, too late then to try to enter in or want to enter in. I think of the days of Noah, like we were hearing the other night, when that door was wide open. I often say with the boys and girls, you know, one day they get up and they looked at that ark up there on the hill or wherever it was, and they saw something they never seen before. In all these years that had gone by while they were building that ark. And as they looked up at that ark, there was something there that they said is different. Something has changed. Do you know what it was? The door shut. The door closed. God said to, the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And he shut the door. And you know, shortly after that, the judgment of God came. Those that were inside that ark were safe. They weren't hanging on to the ark either outside. They were inside that ark and they were safe. They were secure as God could make them. They couldn't miss. They couldn't lose. They couldn't be lost. Those outside the door, they were forever shut outside that door. I can imagine when that rain began to come down and the floods were opened and the waters of the deep came up. I can imagine them knocking on that door. Noah, open the door now. Can't you imagine that? With the water rising and getting higher and higher, deeper and deeper. And they're knocking on that door. They want to get in the door now. But you know the problem? They didn't take advantage when the door was open. All they had to do was take one step from outside to inside. If they would have accepted God's word, if they had to believe God and exactly what God said, and they take that one step from outside to inside, that would be a step of faith. Believing God. You know what God wants you to do tonight? He wants you to take that step. Believing God from outside of a door to the inside and made ready for heaven. It means, my friend, like we've been hearing tonight, it means being saved. My wife and I were going to Labrador one time back a ways in the winter. Winter time anyway. And so as we looked at the watch, I don't know, I might have mentioned it here, but I looked at my watch, we got so much time, about 3-4 hours, to make the ferry up on the Labrador coast to get across to Labrador from Newfoundland. And so she said, well, are we going to stop for chicken or not? My father-in-law loved Mary Brown's chicken. The only time he got it is when we stopped on our way to Labrador and would take him up a bucket of chicken. And I said, well, if we stop quick and make it quick, and buy a bucket of Mary Brown's chicken, and then head her for the ferry. So that's what we did. Stopped in Deer Lake, picked up the chicken, and headed for the ferry. What we didn't know was up over what we call the Bombay Hills on that northern peninsula, there was a tremendous snowstorm going on. And so when we got to those hills, the snow was pouring down, and the road is slow going. In fact, some of the hills we could hardly get over. And, of course, I'm looking at my watch all the time. Get over the hills, rushing for the ferry. And so I call. I call the ferry. I said, we're in Plum Point, a place called Plum Point. We're in Plum Point now, and we're coming for the ferry for Labrador. We'll be there in 25 minutes. I said, can you just wait? Can you just hold the ferry for a few minutes, and we'll be right there. And you know what? We got down to St. Barb. And bypassed the ticket office right down to the ferry because I could see black smoke coming out of the stack. I could see the smoke in the air. And you know what? You know what we saw? A closed door. And you know more than that? They never opened it for us. I went back up and to the ticket office and I said, you know, we really got to get across the Labrador because the chicken would get cold. I didn't tell them that. We really need to get to Labrador. You know why we missed that ferry? Really? You know why we missed that ferry? For chicken. We did. If we hadn't stopped for chicken, we could have gotten in that door while it was open. And we missed it for chicken. You know, people are missing heaven for chicken. Really? When it comes to the matter of heaven and hell, That's before an individual, men and women, boys and girls. Maybe some in our meeting tonight. My friend, I don't know what you're missing heaven for tonight, but you know, when you think about the great picture, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not right with God, if your sins have never been forgiven, it is just like buying chicken and getting chicken or something other than entering through a door that is wide open tonight. That door is open, but it's going to close. And it can close way sooner than anyone expects. And even those of us that are saved, that door can shut so suddenly, my friend, so quickly. And that door could close even before this meeting is over, that door could shut. The cry from heaven could be sounded. When once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, the man who died upon the cross, the man who ascended back to heaven, rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. The Bible says he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I'm reminded in Luke chapter 13, when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door. And when the Lord returns, my friend, that door that is open on that chart tonight, here, that door is going to be shut. Here. No good to knock then. I suppose you could come here to the gospel hall. I don't know, I guess it wouldn't be easy to get in. I know where there's a secret key, but I'm not going to tell you. But you don't know what? They won't even want this building anymore. You could have this beautiful building. Would you like to have it? Who would like to have this building? And there's a van out there too. I don't know, it's probably still be out there. And you could have a van. And you could have a bus. And you could have a loudspeaker, this lovely loudspeaker. You could have it, whatever. You know what? The Christian's not going to want it anymore. This building's going to sit here. For those that are saved, when the Lord comes, that door that is open tonight, my friend, will close. And we'll go to be with him forever. If he comes tonight, are you ready? Why are you not saved tonight? What's the answer? What is it that's holding you back? You know, compared to salvation, it's like buying chicken. Compared to being ready for God, ready to meet God, my friend, it's even less than that. To miss this great salvation, my friend, what a terrible thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so that open door, you know what you need? You need to enter. You need to enter through that door. I was thinking of a God's salvation. You know what else to take advantage of? I was thinking of an offered gift. An offered gift. We were telling someone today, the wages of sin is death. So wages pay. You get paid for wages. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there's a gift that is being offered. God's salvation is a gift. We was telling someone today. In fact, a couple of different ones, but we took out a loony because it didn't have a toonie. That's two loonies. Two loonies. So I took out a loony, and so I said to one man, I said, you see this loony? This is a picture. This is a picture. It is not. It's a very small picture, but this is a picture. You see this loony? I said to him, this is like God's salvation. This is like eternal life that the Lord is offering. Christ died on the cross for sinners, and he shed his blood, and he gave his life for sinners, for you and for me and for the other man, three of us there. And I said, when Christ died on the cross, he provided salvation, eternal life. This is a picture. You see this? I said, this is what God is offering. Like, that's eternal life. I said, how can that become yours? And he says, well, when you give it to me. So we tried. We went around it a few times. I said, when does this become yours? Would you take that? If this was salvation, would you accept it? I said, when would it become yours? And he said again, well, when you give it to me. Is that right? No, that's right. Not that's right. You're right. It's not right. If anyone wants them, there's only two. We were in Amherst a little while ago, and there was 21 Japanese students from Mount A University. They were 18 and 19 years of age, and they came to that meeting that night. 21. 20 girls, one boy. And they came to the gospel meeting, and so I did the same thing. Didn't think of it back now, but I thought of it then. I took a toonie, and I put it there. So if anyone wants those two loonies, you can have it. If there's anyone here that wants those two loonies, you can have them. So anyway, I offered them to the Japanese students. I said, do you like Tim Hortons? And they said, oh, yes, like Tim Hortons. I said, do you have Tim Hortons in Japan? They said, no, Starbucks. Starbucks in Japan. Well, I said, that won't buy a Starbucks, a toonie. You can't buy a Starbucks, I don't think, with a toonie, but you can buy a Tim Hortons. So I said, you can have it. Anyone that wants it can have it. It's offered. So I said to the folks today, in fact, another man that we were talking to today, I guess that was the day for offering the gift, he couldn't quite understand it, but his wife in their language, they were from Kenya, I believe, or Ethiopia, and in their language, the wife explained, she grasped it just like that, what we were trying to get across, and she explained it all to her husband. She's explaining it to him and explaining it to him, and she grasped the truth of the gift. Anyone want that? You know, God says, anyone would like to be saved? Anyone that would like to be saved? He's offering the gift. You know when it becomes yours? The man finally sort of got it, because I give it to him four or five times back and forth. I let him hold it to offer it back to me. And I took it. And I said, thanks. Got it back. The Lord don't take his back. He offers it. Do you know when it becomes yours, salvation? When you take it. When you receive it. When you accept it. He offers it without money and without price. You know what you need to do? You need to take advantage of a gift that is being offered. Sure, you got gifts for Valentine, I'm sure. I seen it at the house there. A little box of candy or something. And some other gifts, some really nice little things for the children. And it was offered. And you know, the children, they didn't take, it was no time. They weren't long taking it. One fellow, it was his birthday coming up or something, he's going away. And he couldn't wait. That was for his birthday on the counter, and he couldn't wait to get at it. He was just waiting for the word to say that you can get it now, you can take it now. He was just waiting to take it. You know, if there was one in our meeting tonight, my friend, if that was your heart's desire, if you wanted to be saved more than anything else in the world, if you wanted it number one tonight, longing to be saved, like some in the Bible, what must I do to be saved, one man said. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Another man said, God, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Another man said, Lord, save me. You know what you could do tonight? You could take advantage of the gift. The wages of sin is death. Sin pays wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that gift, my friend, is offered. And so those two loonies are offered. Anyone want it? Anyone want them? Is there whosoever that would like to have those tonight? And then I was thinking of an opportunity passing. You know, when opportunity passes, that's when you need to take advantage of an opportunity. And so I'm reminded tonight, there's an opportunity here tonight that you may never get again. We can offer tonight God's salvation in this meeting. We have that privilege, and it is a privilege, to offer to you eternal life. The Bible says you can have it tonight for the taking. Just reach out that empty hand of faith and accept what God is offering in the person and work of His Son. An open door, my friend, you need to enter in. An offered gift. You know, the gift of God is enormous. That's what I was thinking today, enjoy. Enormous. Tremendous. You know, there's gifts given in life that are great gifts, but the gift of God is an enormous gift. It saves the soul from the judgment of God, makes a person ready for heaven, forgives one's sins. And the penalty for sin will never have to be met and dealt out and to be shut out of heaven forever. It's enormous. The opportunity in passing, you know what God wants you to do in an opportunity that's passing? Zacchaeus, an opportunity was passing in his life. You know what he did? He embraced it. He laid hold upon it. The apostle said, I'd like to apprehend or lay hold upon that which God apprehended me for. He laid hold upon, was laid hold upon. And that's what God wants you to do tonight, my friend, in this gospel meeting, the last one of this series. He wants you to embrace it. He wants you to take hold of it. He wants you to receive it, for want of better words, to embrace this great passing opportunity. The blind man on the side of the road, when he heard that it was the Lord Jesus passing by, he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew what he wanted, and he wanted it above everything else. And you know what happened? He received it. The Lord stopped. He said, what is it you want? So if he asked you that tonight, what is it you want? If the Lord said to you tonight, what's the greatest want in your life tonight? What would you like to have more than anything else in this wide world? What would it be? You know what God wants you to have? Everlasting life. He wants you to trust His Son as your personal Savior. An opportunity passing. And lastly, our verse tonight. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. My friend, don't be afraid to trust Him. He is dependable. He is worthy. You can put 100% confidence in this person. An only salvation. An open door, take advantage to enter. An offered gift, an enormous gift that's offered tonight. Not just two loonies that anyone can have if they want it, if they want to come up and get it. An opportunity in passing you need to embrace. An only salvation. It's everlasting, but it's final. But it's offered tonight. Wonder anyone here that would like to have it? A man was cleaning the windows on a place called. What's your name? Isaac. Did I say Isaac could have it? What did I say? All right. Okay. Good job. I didn't just say Peter or somebody, right? You know what God says? Anyone. I wonder how many more here would have liked to come now. Right? But He did. That's how you get it. You know why that's His? Because He took it. Took me at my word. Very good. A man, he was washing the windows on Crystal Palace over in England, a place, I guess, called Crystal Palace years ago. And he's washing away, but he's a man that was going to meeting something like this, and he was thinking about getting saved, getting God's salvation. And so at lunchtime, he sat down on the window on the roof of that big building, and he's eating his lunch. And while he's eating his lunch, he's thinking about what the Lord did for him. And all of a sudden, while he's there, he hears, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And it was just as loud, shouted out as loud as could be. And the poor man, he thought God had spoken right out of the cloud. And he fell on his knees on top of that roof, and he cried out to God for mercy. It was God's word. It was God's word that he heard. What actually had happened, I think it was D.L. Moody or one of those great men, was going to preach that night in that great big building. And so he went down to have a look at it, get up on the podium to look over this great building. And he thought to himself, I'll have to try the acoustics of this place. And so he shouted out with all his might, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." He didn't know the man was up there, and the man up there didn't know that he was down there. But you know something? God knew. God knows all about you tonight, my friend, in this meeting. You know what the message is? Behold, God is my salvation. If there was one tonight would take advantage and would say, "I will trust and not be afraid. I will not be afraid to trust Him." If you do, my friend, your sins will be forgiven. Heaven will be your home, and you'll rejoice, be the happiest person on the face of God's earth tonight, if you trust it, the man who died for you upon the tree. God grant that you might. Now we'll pray.